Welcome. I'm Jamie, the pastor of Anchor Bible Church in Lincoln City. Thanks for coming back to part three of Tongues in the Old Testament. Tongues in the Old Testament, part three. Now we're looking at New Testament verses. So just as a reminder, as we looked at God's message to Israel, come unto me. The people refused to listen, and ye would not come unto him. And we're going to see that part of that, the house of the Jews would be left to them desolate. That's the temple. They were going to come and destroy the Jewish temple, the Romans would. And that happened in history. So all these things, so far, we can look in history and see that all these things have happened, just as the Lord says. We know that tongues means language. Language is a tongue. And here we see that foreign tongues, foreign languages. But let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We're not going to be able to exposit the whole chapter today, but we'll just kind of give some highlights for what we need to correlate to see the connection between tongues in the Old Testament and what does it mean. Because by the time we come to Acts, we know that John says that the Lord came to his own, the Jewish people, Israel, and his own received him not. And so we come to Acts chapter 2, and now things are unfolding after the Lord had risen and ascended into heaven. And now we see him sending the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see what the Holy Spirit is doing in the early, in the apostles and the early disciples. And because this is a chief chapter on tongues, which almost everybody knows, but what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, let's look at chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was come, it was their feast, the feast of Pentecost, 50 days had gone by, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The early disciples were together, meeting together in one place. They had assembled together. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. God was doing this. It sounded something like a rushing mighty wind. And this is representing the Holy Spirit. The Spirit means a wind or breath. So the Spirit of God. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. So they were assembled together. The Holy Spirit came. It sounded like a mighty wind. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each one of them. And so something that looked like fire was apparently hovering over them, but cloven tongues. Cloven means something that is split in two. It's like two or more. And so what we'd understand by this, it says cloven tongues. So it's like they're having two tongues, two languages. The ability to speak two languages is what's going on. So they could speak their native language. Maybe some of them actually spoke two or three languages. But now here's another one that they hadn't learned. It's not their mother tongue. It's something else, these other tongues from around the Roman Empire, that the Holy Ghost gave them the ability to do that. So this is a supernatural work. It would sure be nice to be able to speak another tongue today, because I have other people it would be nice to be able to speak to. Even if you go to a restaurant and try to order something in another language, sometimes you'd have difficulty, unless you know that in your heart, the language. But here it says, verse 4, Acts 2, 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was free to work in what they were doing. And they all began to speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice this, they were speaking something. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews. Why? Because they had all come in for the Passover, now the Pentecost. Devout men, Jewish men, out of every nation under heaven. And so this is all throughout the Roman Empire is what this is referring to. And so these are Jews that had come into Jerusalem as they were commanded to do. They were scattered, the diaspora, they were living and scattered amongst places all around the Roman Empire, all around the Mediterranean. And so they had come in for these feast days, but yet they were from different places, so they spoke different languages. And that says, now when this was noised abroad, or proclaimed abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They're thinking, well, what's going on? This is the dialecto, the dialect. And before it was glossios, is where we get the glossary from. And here's like where we get the word dialect. So we can see that these are actually real languages, and they name where they're from. And so if you do some digging in, you can see the languages that were from these regions around the Roman Empire, around Europe and the Middle East and North Africa. Everybody didn't speak the same language. And they were all amazed, verse 7 says, marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? In other words, they're from the region of Galilee, but they're speaking something from all these other places. And it says, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And so we see that, and he's going to mention them, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia, clear over, you know, between the Tigris, Euphrates, the land between the rivers, and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, up around, you know, places around the Roman Empire, Turkey, and up in that area, over in Egypt, and parts of Libya, North Africa, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, that's Italian over there, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, speaking down from the Arabian language, down there today it's Arabic. We do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So what was going on is that they were talking to them about the wonderful works of God, but here the Jews were hearing all these things in other tongues. Well, we already saw that God had a message to Israel, come unto me. The people refused to listen. Ye would not. How did they prove that they wouldn't listen? Well, they cried out, crucify him. And they let Rome hang him on the tree, on the cross of Calvary. And they killed him. They killed him by crucifixion. And he died. He gave up the ghost after he said it was finished. He gave full payment for our sins, is what was going on there. Even though they rejected him, God was doing a great, wonderful work of grace for us. And so he was buried, he resurrected, he ascended. But remember, he said, your house is going to be left unto you desolate. That is, the temple will be destroyed. Not one stone of the temple will be left there. The whole temple mount will be flat. There are no building materials left. Be wiped clean. So we see that God kept his word. It's true today. There's no temple on the temple mount today. No stones there today. And not only that, but they got scattered. The people got scattered. We know after 70 AD judgment was in 70 AD, but this is prior to 70 AD. So we know that here's the third part of the judgment cycle. God's message to Israel, they refuse to listen. Now foreign language accompany judgment. So here we see the foreign languages coming to people from all over the Roman Empire, but yet they came to Jerusalem. And so God does that. All these, the judgment of these foreign languages by the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues given to the early people there to talk to the Jewish people. So let's look at Acts 38. Let me backtrack. Chapter 2, 1 through 11 we did, but now let's go to chapter 10. Chapter 10. So we're looking at the progression as the church was spreading. Things were going, in a sense, from Jew to Gentile, from Peter to Paul, from Jerusalem to Rome, from Israel to the nations. And so you see this transition happening in the Acts, the book of Acts. So that brings us to chapter 10, verse 46, and we're going to see tongues again. 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, and he went on to speak. And so we know that this is in Caesarea, and here we see the Gentiles. The Gentiles, they're baptized of the Holy Ghost. They're speaking in tongues. Previously in Acts chapter 8, we saw the Samaritans were baptized by the Holy Ghost. And so, but it doesn't say they were speaking in tongues then. But what we're seeing is the progression of going from the Jews to the Gentiles. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is accompanying each of these things, and tongues now we see from Jew to Gentile, Jew to Gentile. So now the Gentiles are speaking in tongues as well. And so foreign language, other tongues, other languages. And so now it brings us to chapter 19, Acts 19, verse 6. And here we see it just says, now they're in Ephesus, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And so here we see this was happening there. So he was had left Corinth. He was kind of coming along. Actually, verse 19:1, it says, it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And so here's what's happening to more Gentiles. And so the progression in Acts goes from Jews, Samaritans, which is half Jew, half Gentile, to the Gentiles in Caesarea, Gentiles in Ephesus. And really, that's it. That's it in the book of Acts. And then Paul kind of corrects some of the things they're doing wrong in 1 Corinthians. That's the last time you see the gift of tongues mentioned in the Bible, in the New Testament. And so why is that? Well, because the Jews were judged at 70 AD, and they were warned, and they did not come unto the Lord, and so they were judged in 70 AD. And we see also that tongues accompanied that judgment, and just prior to that. And now at 70 AD, judgment came, and they were scattered. They were scattered all throughout the whole earth, the great diaspora, where the wandering Jew is called. They're going throughout the whole earth until the Lord brought them back to the Holy Land in 1948, and they're back. And that's according to prophecy as well. But we're looking at now tongues. So 1 Corinthians 14, 21 and 22. 1 Corinthians 14, 21 and 22. And we need to look at these verses as well, because here's some things that it kind of explains what's going on with tongues. It says, in the law it is written, we saw before that was out of Isaiah 28, and Paul's quoting that here, with men of other tongues and of other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. He's trying to get their attention. They won't. Wherefore tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And so here we see, and then he says, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that which believe. So what are tongues for? Tongues are for a sign to non-Christians, non-believers, unregenerate people, those who are not born again. And so that's what it's for. And we see that it's happened. It's happened throughout history. So tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. What's one interesting thing is in 1 Corinthians 13, so we need to really do some exposition of some of these verses and a little bit further with tongues as well, because it's such a big topic today, and people are not following what the Bible says. And also it says here, 1 Corinthians 13:9, just a couple of verses, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, But when that which is perfect is come, we believe that would be the canon of Scripture, the last amen in Revelation when that was written, then that which is in part shall be done away. So, and so also we see here in verse 8, charity never faileth. So the greatest thing is charity or love, love and action. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Something's going to stop them from happening. When the canon was closed, there was no more need for prophecy. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Notice this, they shall seize themselves, you could say. They're not waiting for something to stop them. They're not waiting for the canon to close, to stop them, but they're going to seize, they're going to stop. So it makes sense that when the judgment for 70 AD happened in Israel, that's probably when tongues actually seized. The reference to judgment upon Israel, because judgment was done and they were scattered. So there was no need for tongues after 70 AD, and then the canon closed in about 96 AD. So tongues probably stopped a number of years before prophecy stopped, and knowledge or new words from God, which came by prophecy, says it shall vanish away. And so there's a little addition there as well. But the main thing that we're looking at is what was the purpose of tongues for? Well, it was a judgment for Israel. And if Israel is judged in 70 AD, there's no need for tongues in the church today, because it was for Israel, for one. It wasn't for the church, but necessarily. But two, we see also if the judgment was done, there's no purpose for it today. If the canon is completed, there's no need for it today. So if we put all this together, then what about the modern tongues movement? Well, we can see that it's not according to what God has said in his words, the Bible. So it would be, since God doesn't act apart from his word, or he doesn't contradict his word, gibberish or babble kinds of things that's going on today, would be not according to what God has said. So 1 Corinthians is the last book that the gift of tongues is mentioned in the Bible. And again, if it was so important, and oftentimes in the list, it's listed as the last thing. And so we can see that it was a very important thing that God has had really all throughout human history, practically, because we see it in the book, early in the book of Genesis. But you don't see it all the way through Revelation. You do see the word tongues there, but it's just talking about languages, not the gift of languages for judgment upon Israel. But it's just, you know, people from all tribes and tongues and nations will get saved and come to know the Lord and serve the Lord. So these are some teachings on tongues in the Old Testament. Don't forget to look up these verses, pray about them, read them, discuss them. If you're in a Bible study group or a church or group or a small group study or home study or something, and hopefully these will be edifying to you. And so just be careful as you're looking at the scriptures. Just let the words speak for themselves, because God says what he means, and he means what he says. Lord bless you, and thanks for listening.